Boy, it's a blessing to hear these testimonies, isn't it? If you take your Bibles with me, I realize my time is short. I get that. Amen. Some of you are too used to saying amen at this point. I realize my time is short, and so I won't belabor this long, but I do want to just turn our thoughts towards Scripture as we think about baptism. So if you take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. We'll encourage our hearts with Scripture, and then we'll sing a song, and then we will see everyone baptized this morning. This is obviously a fun day. It's emotionally exciting. There's an excitement for all of those who are taking this step. You know, getting up in front of the whole congregation is challenging. Speaking in public is challenging. We all recognize that. Getting baptized publicly can be challenging. You know, even for pastors, it's a bit of a challenge because it's a change from the normal. You try to choreograph everything. You try to remember everybody's name properly, right? You know, you try to connect everything that needs to be there. And then you're also thinking, what are people going to say, right? There's always that as well. It can be nerve-wracking for everyone. That's why I chuckle when I remember a story about a pastor who was fresh out of seminary. He was conducting his first baptismal service, and in his nervousness, he got his ordinances confused a little bit. And so he had everybody give their testimony. It was going fine. He got the first baptismal candidate into the water. He asked if they accepted Jesus as Savior, and he heard a positive response, and he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as he lowered the person into the water, he solemnly declared, and now drink ye all of it. You know, and once we get past the nervousness, we also need to remember, though, that it is immensely symbolic. Baptisms carry great meaning. And to see a portion of that meaning, I actually want us to think about the baptism of Jesus, which is not the normal place to go to talk about baptisms. But yet, I think it's a good place for us to go. And we're going to see some pictures that Jesus shows us through his baptism. But we're only going to look at one picture this morning for sake of time. And we are planning, there are others who would like to be baptized that have chatted with me about it. We're in that process. And so there'll be an opportunity in January, I believe, to have another baptism service. And we will continue our study at that point. But we're going to look at one picture that we can find in Matthew chapter 3. So if you look with me, Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13, says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The first picture that I want us to consider is, and the only picture this morning, is that baptism is a picture of cleansing. It's a picture of cleansing. Now, you think about that, and you think of Jesus, and you go, how in the world could that be the case? After all, from what was Jesus cleansed? Jesus didn't need to be cleansed from sin, did he? He was God who took on flesh. The baptism of Jesus surely couldn't have been about the cleansing of sin. And I would say, well, actually, it was very much about that. Not that Jesus needed to be cleansed from sin, but rather baptism itself is a picture of that cleansing. So in that sense, in that understanding, the baptism of Jesus looks very similar to baptisms today. It is actually just a picture. There are some people who would say that when someone gets baptized, they receive the Holy Spirit. But I would argue that Scripture actually doesn't talk about that, not water baptism. That the baptism that somebody receives of the Holy Spirit comes at the moment of salvation, not at the moment of water baptism. Water baptism is a picture. It's symbolic. It demonstrates something that has already occurred. And in that sense, then, the thing that Jesus did demonstrated a similar picture. The same is happening even today. So let's just consider this. Did the baptism of Jesus really picture the concept of cleansing from sin? And let's just examine the text and think about how this is the case. The first thing that I would point out is that John's ministry was a bit unusual. So here's John the Baptist, and it seems a bit odd, doesn't it, that John the Baptist would arrive on the scene. He would come from the wilderness. He would announce that he is preparing the way for someone to come after him. And then he would start baptizing people. And the natural question would be, why in the world would somebody want to be baptized by John? What's compelling about that? He's talking about a Messiah, but then he wants people to be baptized. Why do it? I mean, don't you think that would be a natural question? John is saying, hey, listen, I want to tell you about this guy who's coming. By the way, let me baptize you. You'd be like, why do you want to baptize me? Why should I be baptized? What's the purpose of this baptism? Why would people listen to John? Well, we notice in verse 13, or actually way before that, well, back in verse number 4 of chapter 3, that John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist. So John was odd, right? There's no question about that. In fact, it says here that his food was locusts and wild honey. Okay, so he's odd in more than one way. But that still doesn't mean that he should be baptizing people, right? Well, it's actually significant that he is connected to this clothing and he's eating this particular food and the place that he's coming from, because the Jews of this day knew that God met with the Israelites where? In the wilderness. In the wilderness. And where was John coming from? The wilderness. And the Jews knew that there was coming another prophet like unto who? Elijah. And what did Elijah wear? Camel's hair. And what did Elijah eat? Locusts and wild honey. And so there's a ton of historical Old Testament significance to John's garment, where John came from, what John ate. So you have all of these points that are connecting back, and people are going, okay, clearly he understands the Old Testament, and he is putting himself forward as the coming Elijah. That's what he's doing. But that still doesn't really answer the question. Okay, that's weird, but even if he's Elijah, why should I be baptized? And I would say it's his message that was important. Because what did John say? John said that you need to be baptized because you need to repent. Now think about that for a moment. John's ministry was built upon a need for cleansing. Now, why was that such a hard thing? It's very easy for us because we, and I shouldn't say it's easy, it's easier for us because we're used to this concept that we need to be cleansed. But think about it from the people who lived in John's day. You know, when a Gentile converted to Judaism, he had to embrace the tenets, the beliefs, the doctrines of Judaism, and he had to be circumcised. In addition, he had to undergo a ritual that had developed during the intertestamental period. And it was a ceremonial bath of purification known as a proselyte baptism. Why? It was a purification that was administered to Gentile converts because the Jews considered the Gentiles to be ceremonially unclean. In other words, it didn't really matter what they did or what they didn't do. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. Therefore, they were unclean. And in order to become a Jew, you had to be cleansed. Okay, now think about what John is saying. Here is John, a Jew, talking with other Jews, and what he is telling them is, you need to be baptized. And they're like, wait a second, I'm part of the covenant. I'm the people of God. I was born pure. Let's put it this way. They could say, I'm kosher. But John said, you're not. You need to be cleansed. And Jesus himself understood John's message. Because these people got upset that John was going around baptizing Gentiles because they recognized that he was actually saying something that they didn't approve of. The fact that they had a problem, a cleansing that needed to happen. Okay, how does this then relate to Jesus? Jesus then pictured the need for that cleansing. Look at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John. Don't you love the intention that's there? Jesus determined this was the thing to do. It wasn't that Jesus was just about in his teaching and preaching ministry and he happened across John and he said, yeah, sure, why not? That's not what we're presented at all. Jesus determined to go to John to be baptized at this time specifically. Why? Why did he do that? And it'd be easy to get bogged down here and dip into some fairly deep theology. And I want to resist that pull because we need to keep things moving. But at the same time, I want to point you in the right direction. So let me do that. All of this helps us to understand what was happening in John's day. But what about Jesus? He still did not need to repent. So why did John baptize him? And I would suggest that John himself understood that Jesus didn't need this, right? Because look at verse 14. John would have prevented him. So remember John's message, a message of cleansing, of repentance. And he says, listen, except for you. He said, you don't need this. He would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? But Jesus said what? Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John, he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, right? So what's going on here? I would suggest that Jesus encourages him to give in and baptize him because it was fitting. The idea there is proper. It's proper for what? It's proper for Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. You say, what does that mean? What's he talking about? Was Jesus not righteous? And I would say, no. What Jesus was doing, Jesus was righteous. What Jesus was doing is he was fulfilling all aspects of the Old Testament law. Jesus was fulfilling everything that God is requiring of him. Here was Jesus identifying predominantly at this moment with the Old Testament Jewish person. Because we're still before the cross. This is still Old Testament Judaism. And so he's identifying with these Old Testament Jewish people, and he is saying, I am going to fulfill the entire law. I'm going to do everything that you should do. I'm going to fulfill all righteousness. And we see later in Scripture how it talks about how Jesus fulfilled all righteousness and then went to the cross. That nothing could be laid to his account. This was actually part of him maintaining his sinlessness, not part of him getting rid of sin. And there's a massive difference between the two. All of this, I recognize, you may have zoned out on part of that, right? You're like, I don't understand too much about anything after you said fulfill all righteousness. It's okay. I recognize that this some of that is deeper theology. But let me just draw it back to the point. The very fact that Jesus did this was to emphasize its need, given the fact that he did not need to do it. So here is Jesus, who was sinless, who demonstrated how necessary this was to the people to whom he was ministering. And so I would simply ask you the question, have you realized the need in your own life to be cleansed from sin? Have you recognized that need? Now, we should understand that baptism waters don't do that, but they do show whether or not it's been done. What does that is the blood of Jesus. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, then, dear friend, you still need to be baptized. First by the Spirit, and then connected to a congregation through water baptism. But if you have not accepted Jesus as Savior, then your need to be cleansed from sin is still present. And we have to recognize this is not a realization that can be made by parents or by family or even just by a community or an upbringing, as in somebody who is raised this way is okay, right? Because remember, John was going to these Jewish people who were raised that way, but it wasn't okay. They individually needed to do it. It was a decision they each had to make. So if you say, well, I was baptized when I was small, doesn't that count? And I would say scripturally, no, it doesn't. Because you have to recognize your need to be cleansed from sin. Not your parents, not anybody else, but you do. And I think it's crucial for us to embrace that. You know, a number of years ago, there was a movie called Regarding Henry. And Harrison Ford was the star. This was some time ago, right? And he starred as an immoral attorney. He fooled around on his wife. He was verbally abusive to his daughter. He was dishonest in his business dealings. And one night he stopped by a convenience store to buy a pack of cigarettes. And he walks in on a robbery in progress, and he ends up getting shot in the head. He doesn't die from the gunshot wound, but he suffers some paralysis, and he suffers complete memory loss. They basically have to reteach him everything. And as he begins to resume life as it was before the shooting, he's appalled at the person that he was. He can't believe the number of affairs that he had. He can't believe that his daughter is afraid of him. He's upset over his former business practices. He changes everything about his life. And the question that you see the movie makers asking is this: how do you change someone who is sinful and immoral? You know, the answer they give is actually pretty biblical, even if aspects of that movie are not. But the answer is pretty biblical. They say, you kill them and you start all over. I'd say that's actually what God does through the rebirth. That's what being born again is. We recognize that there's a need for a different life. It's like, how do I get that? I need Jesus in order to be born again. Baptism is a picture of that, isn't it? A beautiful picture of that cleansing that we need from sin. As I mentioned, there's more that we could talk about, but we need to get to some baptisms. So we're going to sing a song about what Jesus has done in accomplishing his work on the cross while we prepare for these baptisms.